me fucking scoot back a little so I guess fucking so I don't punch the microphone.
Hey, come listen to our podcast, yeah. Please listen, it's a hitch. If you don't listen to our podcast, yeah, then you are a bitch.
Maybe that one.
Welcome to Filmoscopy, a quaint little podcast where three friends across time and space and the realms talk about movies. One picks one episode, and the three of them discuss whether they watch it. Today's episode of Filmoscopy is the animated feature Mortal Kombat Legends Battle of the Realms. As I'm trying to pull it up on Wikipedia. Hold on.
I keep wanting to call this movie,
you know,
Defender,
they have the
of
Defender
of the
Realms cartoon. Which, I go back and watch it, and
yeah,
it's
that's
not
what
great,
I'm thinking,
but I still
of,
love
I
it because it's Mortal Kombat. And it's funny how similar Sub-Zero and Smoke's story plays out in this movie as it does in that cartoon series. So yeah, today's Battle of the Realms, and this movie came out, and it was released on August 31st, 2021, and there's no, like, let's see here, release, reception. The film earned $1,652,738 from domestic Blu-ray sales. Let's see who. It's got a 50% of Rotten Tomatoes. Which I kind of figured it would. This movie is, if you took Mortal Kombat 2 and combined it with Mortal Kombat 3 and combined it with Mortal Kombat Deception in a way and combined it with Mortal Kombat Armageddon. This game is fucking nuts.
Put a sprinkle
and I love
of Mortal
everything
Kombat
they
4.
Try to do with it. Oh, Mortal Kombat 4 was really, yeah, with Shinnok. Mortal Kombat 4 also was kind of mixed in with Legends, Scorpion's Revenge, because Quan Chi was in it, and mm-hmm. that was also Deadly Alliance. Yeah, so these two movies cover the arc from Mortal Kombat 1 through 7 the best they could. I listened to the commentary, and they had this as a two-movie plan. You know, the first movie came out in, I think, 2019 or 2020, and they had already planned for this one to come out as well. So they tried to write down a story, and the writer, Jeremy Adams, has said that there was more in the script that they had to cut out. Like, the ending, there was going to be a...
So, they
yeah. Well, I think they
only
had the green light
movies?
for two movies.
Three in total.
As Cody can tell you, there was a risk, and there was rumors that Warner Brothers was going to sell off some of their properties, and there were Mortal Kombat was potentially one of those properties. So I think they had the two movies planned out. Like, we don't know if we're going to be able to make any more after this, or we're going to get greenlit for another one. So they were just trying to get everything in they could. And they got greenlit for two. But yeah, it's written by Jeremy Adams, same writer, and I'm pretty sure the same director, which is Ethan Spaulding, same guys from Mortal Kombat Legends Scorpion's Revenge. I guess we'll go ahead and say, okay, I'm going to go ahead and say this is stop two on the Hanzo Asashi Appreciation Tour. I wish I could say something about Mortal Kombat 1, but somebody in this party didn't get the premium edition. He's a basic bitch, and he's not getting the game for another like 4 days. So,
hey,
Owen, you get
your
shit
basic
together.
Bitch.
But anyway,
yeah, I was thinking in my head when you were saying that. I'm like, I haven't bought the
game.
I've
got it. I'm not emotionally invested in the story. I've already had it spoiled for me. It's not a big deal. It's still fun to play through. But when I play as Scorpion, since it's Kuai Liang, I just don't have an emotional connection to this. I'm like, eh. It's just, I'm not one of those people who's like, oh, it's Scorpion, so I'm going to play it. I'm like, eh. I mean, I kind of just want to pick somebody else. At least I know that the cameo Scorpion is Hanzo. Which, they have a cameo system in this game. It's kind of like, Dragon Ball FighterZ almost. And then there's a Hanzo costume for Scorpion, which he doesn't have different voice lines. It's still the same voice lines, but at least in spirit you can sit there and say that's Hanzo. But it's pretty dope. And I like, I mean, I kind of like Sub-Zero being a naughty boy. I like the mom energy from Sindel, as I've talked about off the air with the boys. And boy, oh boy, mommy. Anyway, so real quick, Owen, you said you had seen this movie before, but I probably let you borrow it more than likely. I think I was, I'm like, hey man, you gotta watch this in Scorpion's Revenge.
Yeah. That's, I remember that too, and I'm pretty sure that's what happened, is that you let me borrow this movie, and I watched it. It's funny because I didn't remember watching it until I was sitting here this morning watching it, and I was like, I remember a lot of these plot points and stuff, and I remember laughing, well, not laughing at the first time when I watched it, but thinking it was really weird that, like, there's that scene where, like, with Sub-Zero and Smoke, and, like, the Grandmaster gives them their orders, and then a second later, he's like, oh, yeah, I have to turn you guys into robots now, also. Like, it's, like, literally, like, back-to-back, like, no...
That shit is so funny. I do have a pacing. Gripe with this, with that scene. Because, okay, look, I'll get to it. I'm just going to get to it then. Cody, was this the first time you've seen this movie?
Yes, it was.
Okay. and this is probably like the fourth or fifth time I've seen it. I remember watching it and being kind of let down the first time. And each time I've watched it, I just appreciated it for what it was and how accurate it was to kind of like the original telling of Mortal Kombat, not the reboot timeline from MK9, 10, 11. So I do appreciate that, and like the fact that they, you know, scoured the games to put references in here. They even tried to do the one being, which was somebody that was put in the story in MK Deception and barely touched on in Armageddon. Like, the Mortal Kombat team didn't even touch that. They were like, nah, this is too big of a concept. We can't fuck with this. And now it's only had a few references in MKX and MK11 since then. I don't think there's any references to it in MK1. So, yeah, I do appreciate them trying to do this. I have a feeling you guys are going to be negative on it, which is fine. It's not a big deal. So,
I'm more neutral, I think, overall. if I want to spoil my feelings on this.
I still think that the ninja parts, like Scorpion and Lin Kuei, are like the most entertaining parts of this movie. I just don't have a... I cannot like Liu Kang. It's not anything against him. I just find like the Johnny Cage, Sony, and Liu Kang trope kind of tired at this point. And I'm just like, look, I love like all the ninja interactions. Like, I remember loving MK9 because that was the first time Scorpion interacted with Cyrax, Sektor, and both Sub-Zeros. And it's like really cool because you had a lot of people didn't like it because they're like, well, Sektor and Cyrax doesn't show up to Mortal Kombat 3, but they were there on the island with Bi-Han, the original Sub-Zero, for the first tournament. And then next time you see them, they're robots. And it's really cool. There's a scene where you see Bi-Han in the middle and Sektor on his left and Cyrax on his right at the first tournament. And then later on in the game, you see Noob Saibot, which is Bi-Han reincarnated, in the middle, and Sektor and Cyrax on both sides of them in the robot form. So it's kind of like a little scene where it's poetry. It kind of rhymes, you know. George Lucas there, guys. Come on. That's what he said for Star Wars Episode 1. It's poetry. It kind of rhymes. That's why he put the fucking no in Return of the Jedi, that cocksucker. Anywho. So... Cody, are you going to be negative on this movie just out of curiosity?
No, actually, I'm not. I like this movie fine. It's not, I think I like Scorpion's Revenge a little bit more. Because this one does have a lot going on in it. And obviously, being a Mortal Kombat fan for a long time, it's a little bit easier to keep up with it because you kind of, When I was watching, it's like, okay, this stuff's from Mortal Kombat 2. This is a little bit of Mortal Kombat 3 here, you know. But man, if you were someone who weren't really familiar with Mortal Kombat, I could see going into this movie and being just kind of lost halfway through it.
Yeah. And, you know, there's more character growth for Scorpion in this movie and the movie before it than there was in, like, 10 games of Mortal Kombat. He was always the angry ninja. And this one's like, he is already... You know, of course, they did it different in this game. They revealed that Quan Chi was the one that killed him and killed his family. Whereas in the original timeline, Bi-Han did kill Hanzo, but Quan Chi was responsible for his family and clan's death.
Yeah.
And in the reboot timeline, they made it seem like Quan Chi disguised himself as Sub-Zero and killed Scorpion's family and himself because Sub-Zero didn't know why Scorpion wanted to kill him in Mortal Kombat 9. Hey, here's a quick spoiler for you guys. I'm pretty sure Bo Raicho has been replaced in Mortal Kombat 1 because there's a new character who trained Kung Lao and Raiden, name is Madame Bo.
Yeah, I saw that. She's going to be in Combat Pass 2, everybody.
It's some Madame old Bo. Bitch.
I'm calling it
well,
now.
Well, you know, Madame Bo, I'm pretty sure Madame Bo has the same voice actress as Devora because she has like a really raspy voice and sounds like Devora from Mortal Kombat X and not Mortal Kombat X, more like Mortal Kombat 11. I think it's a different voice actress.
Yeah, we would like to lay our eggs in you.
I prefer, you know, Bi-Han being the one that actually killed Scorpion in story and then Scorpion getting his revenge and then Bi-Han becoming Noob Saibot. They kind of like self-fulfilled the prophecy. Like Quan Chi wanted both of them underneath his service. He got Scorpion and he eventually got Sub-Zero. I kind of prefer that versus Quan Chi disguising himself as Sub-Zero and killing Scorpion and his family like they've done since then. I kind of just prefer Bi-Han being the one that actually killed him because, you know, they faced off at the Shaolin Temple in Mortal Kombat Mythology Sub-Zero. Do you guys have a preference or does it not really matter to you?
I agree because I like the more, like, I don't know, if Bi-Han's going to be evil, you know, Noob Saibot, like how it is in the newer timelines and stuff, it works better to make him, like, less of a good character. I mean, the Lin Kuei are supposed to be assassins, right? Or some shit like that. Like, I mean, I know in MK1, I guess they're, like, different now, but, you know, back then, they were all just assassins and shit, so...
Yeah, it does, and it gives kind of like a...
Makes sense. It makes sense.
A gravity to the Scorpion Sub-Zero rivalry, because that's what's marketed for Mortal Kombat, is the Blue Ninja versus the Yellow Ninja. And the two that started it off in the first Mortal Kombat game is Hanzo Asashi and Bi-Han. So it just kind of fits that they are like the natural rivalry. But even though later on it's Scorpion and Kuai Liang facing off, Hanzo and Kuai Liang, because they just want to keep the aesthetic of Scorpion and Sub-Zero. It doesn't look... If it was accurate, it would be like Noob Saibot versus Scorpion on the poster, but that doesn't sell, so it would be Sub-Zero and Scorpion on the poster, you know? So, Cody, do you have a preference to how the story plays out for canon purposes?
I agree with you, too. Bi-Han being more of a... just a shitty kind of person makes a lot more sense than just, oh, well, I was ambushed by a scorpion or whatever out of the blue. I don't know what this is about. I'm killed, and now I'm going to come back as Noob Saibot. Just, I don't know. It is a little bit more effective with Bi-Han being, like, an asshole.
Yeah. Like I said, I'm glad you guys agree because it just kind of makes Bi-Han just a plot device at that point. And if it's like, you know, if it is Bi-Han that killed Hanzo in the, like, how it was in the original timeline, it has a groundedness to the rivalry. You're not introduced to this, like, all-powerful Netherrealm sorcerer who can just transform into people willingly and do this whole plot thing. It just feels like these two ninja clans hate each other. They fought, and the blue guy won. And because he was more powerful and had supernatural powers. And then Scorpion comes back with supernatural powers and he kills Bi-Han, gets his revenge. But then, you know, Bi-Han comes back as Noob Saibot, which we found out in Deception. And it's just kind of like, oh, cool. So they both kind of fell and you find out it was Quan Chi that did it. So I enjoy that part of it a lot. Real quick, I got to get this off my chest. In Mortal Kombat, since Mortal Kombat X, they've had character intros. So every fight, you'll have some kind of in-fight dialogue between the characters. And in Mortal Kombat X, it was probably like 3 or 4 unique character intros between the characters. And it's just kind of hints to a side story or how they've interacted in the past that you haven't seen on screen. MK11 has like 4 or 5 and sometimes 6 different intros, which is pretty cool. And then Mortal Kombat 1 has about 5 or 6 as well, but they're shorter intros. Two characters who have never, I repeat, never interacted before. I talked about Scorpion interacting with Cyrex and Sektor in MK9, MKX, and MK11 timeline. But they never interacted in the original timeline. Scorpion interacted with Bi-Han, obviously. He was killed by him, and then he killed him when he came back. And he interacted with Kuai Liang in the original timeline. And then, like I said, the reboot, quote-unquote, timeline. I don't know if you want to call it reboot, since the reboot's now Mortal Kombat 1. So the restart timeline, MK9, he interacted with all 4 of them. And most characters have interacted with each other. Like Jade has interactions with Rain, Katana with Rain, and vice versa. There's 2 fucking characters in these games that are like 2 ships passing in the night. They might be in the same place at the same time, but they never look at each other. And one of them is a complete copy of the other. And I'm talking about Hanzo Asashi, Scorpion, and Smoke. There's not one interaction in the original timeline. There's not one interaction in the restart timeline. There might be an interaction in the reboot timeline. But it's not the interaction I wanted. I'll just say that.
Where there is smoke, there is fire.
Well, Smoke in the original timeline is Kuai Liang's best friend. They both go to the tournament in Mortal Kombat 2 to kill Shang Tsung. There is a scene in the comic book that John Tobias put out where Smoke is flying a jet and he drops Sub-Zero off, and then he flies off. I know it's crazy, but, you know, like I said, I think... Look.
Wait, what?
John Tobias, the creator of Mortal Kombat.
I'm sorry.
Of the story
what?
Of Mortal Kombat. He wrote the comic books that they had. Like, they had, like, specific, yeah, like, 1 comic book with each game for, like, the first 2. But you're introduced to Sub-Zero, and you find out in that comic book that Sub-Zero is the younger brother of Bi-Han. Of course, they didn't have the name yet, but he was the younger Sub-Zero. And he said that his brother...
Yeah. Doesn't it tell you...
Yeah,
in
but
MK2,
if
you
suck like I
did,
you didn't find out for
20
fucking
too?
Years before you actually beat the game. Anywho. No, I'm exaggerating. He was 15 years. Anywho. You have... you're introduced to the younger Sub-Zero, and he said his brother was a great warrior, but he was also obsolete. He would not interact. Well, he didn't like technology. And this Sub-Zero is showing up in a suit and tie with sunglasses, and he's on a fucking fighter jet. Evidently, the Lin Kuei has fighter jets.
Yeah, of course. Well, they have the money to create a cyborg army, so I guess,
well,
this ancient Chinese clan.
Like, well, maybe this was kind of like hinting at the next game at this point, that they were going to go in that direction. And it's funny because I think people, you can retcon it now, but in the comic, you know, Sub-Zero's putting his costume on, and he has Liu Kang and Kung Lao with him, and Smoke is flying the jet, but right next to him is a red ninja. And people have asked John Tobias on Twitter, who is a red ninja. He goes, well, I guess technically that was Ermac before they introduced Ermac as an actual character, and he had a backstory. So it wouldn't be Ermac. You can kind of retcon it and say that was Sektor if you wanted to. But they're flying. They drop Sub-Zero off. And then Sub-Zero tries to kill Shang Tsung, which is his mission. He's knocked away by an invisible reptile. And then before Reptile can attack him, Scorpion shows up and says he's going to protect this younger Sub-Zero for killing his brother. So Smoke and Scorpion, no interaction. And then later on, Mortal Kombat 3, Scorpion is still Kuai Liang's protector, and Smoke is sent after him. And in Sub-Zero's ending, him and Smoke team up. And Scorpion's ending, him and Sub-Zero team up. No interaction between Scorpion and Smoke. And MK Deception, Noob Saibot has control of Smoke, and he's Scorpion's enemy, even though Scorpion doesn't know who the fuck he is right now. there's no interaction between them. No interaction in MK Armageddon. Mortal Kombat 9, there was a scene where Scorpion was fighting Sub-Zero in Shao Kahn's arena, and smoke shows up, but Scorpion disappears because the Cyber Lin Kuei abducts Sub-Zero this time. So no interaction between Smoke and Scorpion. Smoke is a revenant for Quan Chi along with Scorpion. No interaction. And there's no interaction between Scorpion that in Sub-Zero where they mention Smoke's name. Smoke's only mentioned one time in MK11. So, like, and Smoke is a gray-clad Scorpion. He moves a little faster because, obviously, he's sped up for being a bonus character. He's, like, the second bonus character in Mortal Kombat history. And he has all Scorpion's moves. He has Reptile Stance, and he is Sub-Zero's winning pose in the Mortal Kombat 2. But this movie, I was excited, like, oh, my God, I'm going to get human Smoke versus Scorpion in this game. And they fucking turn Smoke into a robot right fucking from the get-go. And that's my interactions between Smoke and Scorpion of that. I'm like, that's fucking stupid.
Wait,
like,
you're talking about turning Smoke into a robot in MK9?
No, it was Sub-Zero. I'm talking about in the movie,
MK1.
Oh, okay. I got
you. I already got that in the MK9 part. I'm just saying, like, there's the part where Kuai Liang and Scorpion are fighting in Shao Kahn's tournament for the MK2, quote-unquote, part of the story. Kuai Liang's about to hit the finishing blow on Scorpion, and then the Cyber Lin Kuei show up and grab him. And then Scorpion disappears, and then Smoke comes running in on the... Smoke comes running in through the arena, and they don't even interact. They don't see each other. I'm like, damn it, dude. I just want some kind of interaction between Scorpion and Smoke, and not this bullshit MK1 where they're brothers now, even though it's not the same Scorpion. Anyway, so I'm not going to keep bitching about
brothers.
That.
Brothers.
So we'll get into the story. Well, man, I'm trying to be honest with you. I like the Outworld stuff. I think it's cool to have Kung Lao. Because it first starts out, you have the invasion from Outworld happening on Earthrealm. And there's no Sindel in this plot line. Because in MK3, they needed Sindel to cross the Earthrealm's borders. It's like the Earthrealm invasion has... This is kind of like in a grand scale what happens at the beginning of the MK2 story, where the Outworld forces storm the Shaolin Monk temple and kill all the Shaolin monks, just to bait Liu Kang to come out and have another tournament. And that's what's happening at the beginning of this. You see Striker shows up with Jax. Kung Lao, who has Liu Kang and Fujin's voice actor from MK11 playing his voice. And then, like Johnny Cage and Sonya are facing off with the other... I don't know, man. It's kind of like a military thing. I don't know. They make the Outworld forces almost too military-like. Like, I don't know. I feel like there should be more... Like, it should be more mystic with them instead of them just... this is how we do war. You have Reiko. It is cool to see Kentaro.
Reiko is... Like, I love seeing Kentaro. Reiko's cool to see.
Jade. And you actually have Baraka in this movie. Like, everybody thought that the Tarkatan that was killed by Johnny Cage in the first movie was Baraka. And I think it was supposed to, but they saw the outrage and like, let's go ahead and put Baraka in this since there's so many Tarkatans anyway. But Reptile is dead, so there's no Reptile. Johnny Cage and Sonya and Liu Kang come up and attack them. It's a separate part from the big battle at the Shaolin Temple. And then Raiden shows up, and he's fucking everybody up because he's a god. Shao Kahn shows up. Liu Kang tries to fuck him up, and it doesn't work out. Shao Kahn and Raiden go to the Elder Gods, which look kind of plain. They don't look anything special. And there's definitely no Cetrion.
Yeah, they look funny. Like, one guy's like a furry or some shit. Like, that shit's, you know,
pretty fucking funny. There's one of them. He's just got kind of like a chin strap goatee, like I would back in 2010. And I'm like, yeah, go for you. You do you, brother. I figured at this point they would have had like Cetrion looking character in the Elder Gods, because she had already been introduced in MK11, and this game came out 2 years after MK11. So there's no continuity how the Elder Gods look. They wish for they want one more tournament. The score to anyway, it doesn't matter. I was gonna say the score to settle it all, pretty much. But there was a rhyme. The war to settle the score. That's what the fuck it is. Hot damn. so they and Raiden wants to be part of this tournament, so they do what they did in Warcoming Annihilation, and Raiden gives up his godhood and he's now mortal. And I guess he kind of did in Mortal Kombat 11 with Liu Kang. He gave his godhood to him. So they settle up and go ahead, sorry.
I always thought that he did give up his god powers to be in like Mortal Kombat. Well, that's how he gets his ass
what
like,
I understand,
killed and stuff.
I barely remember this. It's in the Mortal Kombat 3 instruction manual. For Raiden to compete in the, you know, tournament in Mortal Kombat Trilogy, which is just an expansion of Mortal Kombat 3, Raiden does give up his godhood, but he still has all of his powers. And then he becomes an Elder God at the end of Mortal Kombat 4, and he comes back from that in Deadly Alliance. He doesn't give up his godhood in the games, like, for everybody to see until MK11, when he gives his powers to Liu Kang and kind of fuses with him in a way. But in Annihilation, he gives up his powers and he becomes a regular dude. He's got like a flat top haircut. It's a weird fucking story. So how are you guys feeling so far at this point in the movie before we get to the ninjas?
The ninjas. I mean, it's kind of just retreading MK2, which this is going to be my biggest kind of complaint about this movie that kind of makes me just neutral. Is that and I mean, I guess it's kind of a thing with both movies, but it's kind of more of a thing with this one, because I feel like, I don't know. I mean, how many times can we have like a movie or something just redo the same Mortal Kombat story that we've like seen 1,000 times, I guess. I don't know. I mean, this one does it kind of justice, because on one hand, it's like, this is the only one that kind of does 2 to 3 to 4,
yeah,
accurately. But, you know, on the other, it's like, you know, I don't know. It feels kind of fatigued. And I could imagine at the time, probably, you know, more so, because, like, you know, you just had MK11 coming out and stuff.
No, I understand that. I think there's a portion of the hardcore audience that wants something fresh and new, and somebody who is probably vaguely on the outside of the fandom but has played all the games, kind of like yourself, wants something fresh and new. But I think there's a big portion of the hardcore audience that wants to see the story play out on screen that they you know, recited and learned by heart. And I think, because, like, you know, Jeremy Adams and even Spalding are older guys. They're probably either my age or a little bit older, so they grew up with the original timeline of the game. So I think, you know, I don't know how well received this movie is with a lot of the hardcore fans. It probably isn't as well, but I think they did the best they could to put in as much of the OG timeline as they could versus MK9, MKX, MK11 timeline. Like, all the character designs are from like MK9 and MKX. Like, Scorpion's is MKX. Bi-Han's costume was literally Kuai Liang's costume from MKX. Kuai Liang's costume in this movie is his MK9 costume. Smoke looks like his MK9. The cyborgs look like their MK9 costumes. Sonya, I don't know. Sonya just looks like a generic military chick. Johnny. Yeah, those are kind of different designs. Like, you know, I don't know where the fuck they grabbed those designs for Johnny and her. But it's just kind of generic. You didn't really see those in the game, but they fit those characters.
I think Johnny's from, like, that design for Johnny Cage.
Yeah, probably.
It's kind
of
from
hair,
KX.
You know, especially his hair.
When he has, like, the little green jacket thing.
Yeah, I didn't think
like
about
the green vest.
Cody, how are you feeling at this point in the movie?
Fine. I kind of agree with Owen. I mean, there's this portion of Mortal Kombat's lore has just been done so many times. In, you know, in slightly different ways each time. I mean, yeah, I think there's the original games, there's, which I know doesn't have a ton of story in it, but then there's like the original movie, which follows the Mortal Kombat tournament, and I can't remember what Annihilation dealt with exactly, but I've only seen
Mortal Kombat
like twice.
Mortal Kombat, the 95 movie is kind of like Mortal Kombat 1 and 2.
Yeah.
And then Annihilation is kind of like Mortal Kombat 3 through trilogy with all the characters.
Yeah, and then I kind of feel like, because, you know, with the newer live action movies, the sequel's probably also going to take some elements from both the original Mortal Kombat and Mortal Kombat 2, maybe. And because that reboot film kind of felt like a prequel to the tournament itself. You know, then you got this animated movie, and you got, you know, MK9 when it kind of restarted everything. So I don't know. It's just I'm in a similar boat where I'm just kind of tired of seeing the same story done over and over and over again, even though it does have some slight differences. That's why, you know, honestly, and I know we're not really here, we're not at the point where we're talking about what's next, but I'm very excited to see Snowblind, because my understanding is that Snowblind doesn't really have anything to do with any of the game canon. So, like, just like an original story for that movie. So, like, I'm excited to get to that.
Yeah. It Snowblind is pretty
good. Yeah, that
good.
Does sound cool.
They do take elements from MK11 for Snowblind, just a few elements, not a lot. And they have the new movie coming out called Cage Match, which is like an 80s prequel, but it stands alone. It's not even connected to these movies, for Johnny Cage, and like Serena and Ashra are in it, and so is Quan Chi. And
yeah,
it's like
Johnny,
a completely
Johnny
different
Cage,
animation style.
Johnny Cage jumps in his car at one point, and you hear da 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 da.
Yeah.
Take on
me. It's kind of funny. I mean, I might eventually watch that movie. I don't think I'm going to buy it because there's no Scorpion in it. So, yeah.
No, Cage Match.
No, Cage Match.
Wait, which movie? Snowblind? Or the new one?
That's another thing. Scorpion Hanzo has never interacted with any of Quan Chi's sluts, like Serena. Well, that's what they are. I mean, in Conquest, they're portrayed as his sex slaves and his assassins. So I'm assuming that's what it is in the games. You have Ashra,
Marinara.
You have Serena, Jataka, and Kia.
I thought Ashra was like a fucking...
Oh,
like,
she is, but she originally
she, like,
was part
demons.
Of Serena's batch of demons that became Quan Chi's slaves. She's just rebelling and stuff like that.
She's a, hey, y'all demon, bitch. But please, Lance, they're referred to as concubines.
Excuse me. I'm sorry.
Marinara.
It's like you made up.
Who the fuck is
pizza
marinara?
Sauce, buddy.
Marina.
That's the only thing Quan Chi likes on pizza is marinara.
No, who is Serena. Okay.
I know
have you ever played Mythology Sub-Zero?
Oh, okay.
No,
you mean
I Serena.
Ashra, I thought
Serena,
you said Marina.
Jataka and Kia. Marinara. Pastrole. Alfredo.
Yeah, I was like, who the fuck is that?
Egg noodles. That's all the characters you want to see serving him.
Getting into Dragon Ball territory.
And he fucks them all. Yeah, fucking... Cucumber.
I think there actually is a character
favorite
name,
character
like,
from
Cumber
Dragon Ball
or something like that, which is...
Oh, it is Piccolo. Piccolo Dormammu, the King Piccolo character. He has multiple mutant children, and one of them's like Cucumber or whatever that bullshit. They all got weird. No, they all got names. They all got musical names. Like Piccolo. They have
eggplant.
Like, well, I can't remember
all. All the Saiyans are vegetables or some type of food, because you know you got King Vegeta and Kakarot.
Who's what about eggplant? Where's the fuck is
I think that's
eggplant?
That'll probably be after, you know, they introduce that. That'll probably be Nappa's like name when he goes into Nappa Purple or whatever, because that's all they do with the characters now. It's like, yeah, we got Orange Piccolo and Black Frieza and Purple Nappa. We'll call him Eggplant.
Oh, dude, there there is a Black Frieza form.
I know. I know. I'm being serious.
Okay. Well, at this point, Scorpion wakes up in the Netherrealm after he perished on Shang Tsung's island. And all the demons that he fucked up are there, like, oh shit, this guy's in the middle of us again. What are we going to do? And then you have Shinnok, who has kind of a snake-like voice, comes up. And he's portrayed as, like, the mad god Shinnok, because he wants to merge the realms. And Shinnok, that wasn't his intention at that point. I think he wanted to rule all the realms and not necessarily combine them in Mortal Kombat 4. In Mortal Kombat X's timeline, Shinnok combines all the realms to form the One Being, and he watches the One Being kill all the Elder Gods. The One Being, for because I think I've explained it on the Pixel Chronicles podcast, which won't be out by the time this comes out. The One Being, the way it's described, and they described it in Scorpion's Revenge, the One Being is like all of reality. And he creates the Elder Gods, and I guess MK11 he creates the Titans. But he creates the Elder Gods and the Titans to either do tasks for him, or for him simply to just eat. That's all he was doing. So the Elder Gods come up with this plan to split the One Being into realms. So they make the Kami Dogu and they split him into pieces. And the One Being's sole purpose at this point is to recombine and form himself. So he works through Shang Tsung, he works through Shao Kahn, he works through Onaga. In this movie, he works through Shinnok to recombine the realms. It's like Shao Kahn wants to combine all the realms and be the ruler of them all. What he's really doing is recreating the One Being. He doesn't realize it. Same thing goes for Onaga. And the One Being is subconsciously luring them to that fate. That's what he's trying to do. And that's why the Elder Gods created the Mortal Kombat tournament, because they figure, well, somebody has to win 10 tournaments to merge the realms, and there's no way somebody's going to win 10 fucking tournaments. And Shao Kahn's like, here, hold my beer, watch this. So Shinnok shows up and he tells Scorpion that he has his amulet that's bind to Scorpion's soul now, and he wants Scorpion to go to the Temple Elements to get the last Kami Dogu he needs. And Scorpion goes, nah, and Scorpion just jumps through a portal. And Scorpion thinks he successfully escaped, but it's more like Shinnok let him out and he's gonna have somebody else trace him, type of deal. Well, we get to a link, and here's the funny thing. I don't know, because they never mention it in Mortal Kombat Scorpion's Revenge, but the back of the box says that Sub-Zero Bi-Han is the Lin Kuei Grandmaster, and it shows that Scorpion is the Grandmaster of the Shirai-Ryu. And that's not in the story of that movie. They're just part of the clans. You don't see Sub-Zero as the Lin Kuei Grandmaster. I think that the person from Warner Brothers who wrote the description on the back of the box was looking at MKX's story, or MK11's story. He says, oh, Sub-Zero is the Lin Kuei Grandmaster, and Scorpion is the Grandmaster of the Shirai-Ryu. We're going to write it down. Because there's a Lin Kuei Grandmaster in this fucking movie. Yeah. I'm like, that's not Bi-Han. What the fuck? But you have a Kuai Liang, Sub-Zero, number two, and Smoke training. And then Smoke's like, you're doing a good job. Here's a mask so you can look like your brother. And he's like, no, I want to be my own man. And he's like, you're too much of a pussy. He goes, you're right, give me the mask. And then someone comes up looking like one of those Lin Kuei that Scorpion brutalized in MK Scorpion's Revenge. So the Grandmaster goes 0 to 60 real fucking quick. He goes, your training has been very well, but I need you to do a task that you cannot fail. And then it's like, I don't know, like, you would think the Grandmaster knows the Shirai-Ryu are dead and that Scorpion is dead. But he's like saying, we must capture Hanzo Hasashi, Scorpion. And then Sub-Zero's like, oh, where is he? I'll get him. I'll get him for killing my brother.
What confused,
and Smokes is over here like...
What confused me about... Oh, they need Scorpion to access the what is it called? Kami-Dogu, right? Because...
Kami-Dogu.
Dami.
What is Dami-Kogu?
Yeah, so they need him to access the final Kami-Dogu. Because, right, because they've been tricked by Shinnok.
Well, Shinnok hires them. They don't know who hired it. Because if you remember, like, Shinnok, I didn't go over this in plot, but Shinnok tells the Oni of the Netherrealm to go after Scorpion. He goes, but Master, we tried that before and he fucked us up. And
gotta,
he goes, we'll find somebody else that won't get fucked up.
You gotta give him more of an Igor voice. But Master.
So he fucked us up last time, Master. So they hire, I don't know how they contact Lin Kuei to do it, I guess they call him on the phone and it's like, hey, we were wanting to know if you could get Hanzo Asashi. He's like, that would be 1745. And he's like, okay.
They send an owl.
No, they send one of those ravens that's in the Netherrealm that's like pucking up the eyeballs.
Yeah.
Like, go. But then Smoke's kind of looking at Quiet Lang like, man, this dude needs to fucking chill out. You know, I'm not saying because he's got ice powers, but he needs to chill. And, yeah, you smoke with me, brother. You'll be fine.
Relax.
I wish Smoke had a Bob Marley voice. Carry on. So we have Mortal Kombat 2, where the Grandmaster is sending Smoke and Sub-Zero on a mission. And then it jumps to fucking Mortal Kombat 3. He goes, we're going to turn you into robots, and Cyrex and Sektor show up, and they're robots already. And it's like, holy shit, man.
Yeah. It's so instant. He's like, all right, I'm going to spend all this time briefing you guys. Oh, fuck it. I guess I'll just turn you into robots, by the way.
We'd mentioned it before, the Defenders of the Realm cartoon. You see a human Cyrex and Sektor watching human Smoke and Quiet Liang train at the Netherrealm, not Netherrealm, at the Lin Kuei compound in China. And unfortunately, there's no Bi-Han. That'd be kind of cool if they drew Bi-Han. At that point, you know, in the original timeline, you know, Bi-Han, you don't see him interact at all with Cyrex and Sektor, even though you think they would all be training together because they're all around the same fucking age. But that you have Smoke training with them, and then Cyrex and Sektor turn into robots, but it's hinted at that it's they accepted they wanted to be robots. And then, Smoke and Sub-Zero try to escape. They're caught by the Grandmaster. Smoke fights off the Grandmaster, and Sub-Zero escapes. And he goes, Smoke, come with me. And Smoke's like, no! And then he becomes a robot. And as he's getting turned into a robot, you hear him go, help me! And in this movie, they're trying to escape. The robots fuck them up because obviously they got plot armor and robot armor. And I think it's kind of funny, Cyrex... I don't know why Cyrex is sending out missiles. He just needs to send out nets and have that big fucking saw blade in his chest, which is one of his moves. Because Sektor sends out the missiles, and Cyrex is like sending everything out. But he sends out some missiles at Sub-Zero as Sub-Zero's charging him. Sub-Zero freezes him and thinks, oh, I'm good. I can go walk by right by. Explosion! And Sub-Zero's blown out the fucking building, and they're mind-raping Smoke at this point, like wiping his mind with these like...
little green globules on him.
And then Kwai climbs back up the wreckage of the thing and looks in, and before the building collapses on the entrance, he looks at Smoke, and Smoke's like, go, Kwai, go! And then the dream I had of having Scorpion and human Smoke face off is never going to happen. So it cuts to another scene. Where the fuck is this at? Because it cuts to the tournament, and I'm not going to lie to you guys. The tournament shit's kind of boring to me. I watched this movie 3 times. I watched it once to refresh my memory. I watched it once with the commentary just to listen what they had to say. I watched it one more time to make sure I had the plot points. So here I am stuttering still. Now you go. The tournament's happening at this point, and it's just kind of like a standard. Like Johnny Cage gets beat the first round, and then Sonya wins the second round, and like Sonya beats Devorah, who beat Johnny Cage, and Liu Kang beats Jade, and it just kind of goes back and forth, back and forth, back and forth.
Yeah, because I think in the first round, the only person that loses is Johnny. And then in the second round, pretty much everybody loses except for Liu Kang.
Yes, and we have some... Dude,
Stryker gets fucking killed, dude.
They had the voice actor who played Stryker in MK9 come back and voice his character in this movie. And, dude, that was a fucking awesome thing. Just so he could get his head
fucking ripped off.
Like, you see, like, Shang Tsung's powers where he steals a part of a part of his life force and turns into Stryker. And then he possesses Stryker, like, his MK2 fatality, but what he does is in that game he possesses you and makes you explode, and this game he possesses himself and then goes to rip his own head off while impaling himself on a big spike, which is pretty fucking cool. And then it's funny, like, Stryker has already backed himself onto the spike and has almost ripped his head off, and Raiden goes, "No, stop!" Like, dude, where the fuck were you? Like, I don't know, 30 seconds ago? The beginning of this movie, real quick, because this movie is this movie is Liu Kang's movie. You know, the first movie was Scorpion's movie. A lot of people bitched, like, how could you do that to Liu Kang? It's like, well, we're telling a Scorpion story. This is the Liu Kang story. So that's why Liu Kang's OP in this movie and Scorpion's been pussified.
Well, what do you,
but at the beginning of this movie...
What do you mean, I bought Scorpion's Revenge and it's not about Liu Kang? What the fuck, bro?
I know,
it's fucking stupid. But I've been bait and switched. Movie, I forgot about this. They have an opening scene where Liu Kang's parents get killed, and then Raiden shows up and kills all their Tarkatans that killed them to save Liu Kang. And Liu Kang's mom is like, tell him he was loved. And I'm like, Raiden could have showed up like 30 seconds before and saved them.
Yeah, when I was watching it, I was like, damn, Raiden, if only you showed up like fucking
five minutes before. I was like, a little bit into the movie, I'm like, okay, who is that baby? And I don't know if I just missed that detail or what. But
you did, because his mom before his dad goes, little Liu Kang.
I will say this. I started watching it last night. I watched like the first 15 minutes last night, but it was like 11:30 at night, so I may have been like really tired. And then when I got up this morning, I watched the rest of it. So yeah, when I was watching it this morning, I'm like, are they ever gonna say who that baby was?
Yeah, his mom. I love his mom was like, little Liu Kang. Like, why would you say your own last name as you're dying? Just say little Liu or some shit.
It's a weird thing they do in this movie anyway. Like, and I think they may have done a similar thing in Scorpion's Revenge, but when they call out to each other, it gives me like Marvel versus Capcom Infinite vibes, where it's like, Liu Kang, Johnny Cage. It's like, you don't have to say their entire name. Like, we know who Liu is and who Johnny is and who Sonya is. Sonya Blade. It's like, all right, we get it. It's Sonya. Like, you don't have to say all of it.
Yeah, I get that, and I think it's kind of difficult for them because you have an hour and 20 minutes to do this movie, so you're trying to cram everything in there and to keep everybody informed. They probably have somebody above them at Warner Brothers is like, it's got to be like this because, you know, the fans are stupid or whoever's going to watch the movie is not going to follow.
Yeah, because they're not calling Stryker by his first name. They're just calling him Stryker.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things like you kind of forget somebody's last first name.
Yeah.
Curtis.
What's Stryker's first name again?
It's Curtis John with a K. Some shit?
Curtis, that's what it is.
Billy. Hey, here's the
Curtis
thing.
With a K.
This
course.
Is gonna sound real stupid, guys. All right. On Mortal Kombat 3, when I realized that Cyrex was not a robotic scorpion, that he was a different character, and I saw that Sub-Zero was no longer wearing his ninja costume and he had a scar, I kind of thought Stryker was Scorpion Unmasked.
Wait, do what?
Wait, you mean when you were a kid and you played MK3? Like one of those gamer magazines? I didn't know what the fuck was going on. I was looking at the pictures, and then I'm like, wait, That's Sub-Zero. He's not wearing his costume anymore. Is that Scorpion? Why has he got his hat backwards? I'm like, that's not Scorpion. It only lasted for a little bit, but I thought it was funny.
Scorpion. I think Scorpion's a white guy now.
He skateboards now.
Well, at that point, you know, I didn't think about Scorpion being Japanese, even though he's from Japan.
Yeah, I know.
I didn't think about that like whatsoever, you know, because they didn't establish Scorpion like his birthplace is Asuka, Japan, and that was established in the Mortal Kombat 4 instruction booklet. Nowhere else, though. And, you know, Sub-Zero, like, the Lin Kuei is just in China. It doesn't tell you where it's at because it's mysterious because they really didn't want to pinpoint a location. But anyway, going back to this whole thing. So, Striker gets killed, and then Kung Lao has a... Kung Lao has... I think it had been... You know, he says this line... When he's facing off with Shao Kahn, he goes, I am descendant of the great Kung Lao. It is you who should be worried about dying. And it's like, you know, I think this would have been a lot better if Goro was in this movie, because Goro is the one that killed the great Kung Lao. And it's not really, you know, like hinted around to. That's the one thing that, you know, and again, a lot of things were cut in that movie. And I think a lot of people, I think Mortal Kombat 2021 gets a bad rap. Because it was a first-time screenwriter writing that movie, and he did the best he could to fit everything in. But, you know, like, Kung Lao is the descendant of the great Kung Lao. Goro is the champion of Mortal Kombat, but there's no interaction between them whatsoever. You know, that should be a big thing right there, is Kung Lao and Goro. But Shao Kahn fucks up Kung Lao. He throws his hat into his chest, and it cuts halfway through it, and then Shao Kahn does his Mortal Kombat 9 fatality, where he sticks his hand in your chest and rips your body in half long ways, like a hot dog bun. And, yeah, Liu Kang's like, no, he's crying and shit like that. So Liu Kang gets his matchup with Shang Tsung at this point. Shang Tsung does something to Liu Kang's arm, and he looks like half Darth Maul, red and black, and he can't use his arm. And then Liu Kang beats... he is corrupted. Well, Liu Kang fucks up Shang Tsung and doesn't kill him, which... Just kill the bad guys, people. Come on. And then Raiden fights Shao Kahn in the tournament, and Shao Kahn kills Liu Kang.
Just going back to the Shang Tsung, Liu Kang fight real quick. I do like this type of thing in like martial arts style storytelling, where it's like, oh yes, I've got you now because you know you've been severely injured, and you know how he's like, I don't need both arms to defeat you. And, like, he's, like, just easily, like, beating him with one hand. I'm, like, such a sucker for that sort of thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty fucking cool. The one thing I'm disappointed with is they kept Shang Tsung as an old man. Like, there's a hint in Mortal Kombat Scorpion's Revenge where you see a flashback of Shang Tsung's former look when he was younger. And it's his MK3 look where he has that black face paint. And I wish they had, like, Mortal Kombat 2, in Mortal Kombat 2, Shao Kahn gives Shang Tsung his youth back. So Shang Tsung looks like he did when he was 19 years old. And it's kind of, it looks alright. I don't like his Mortal Kombat 2 look, but that was the whole point. And then Mortal Kombat 3, he has long hair and he's black face paint. The reason he has black face paint, because the actor who's playing him is not Chinese anymore. So they put the face paint over his eyes to... distracted when they digitize his eyes so they make him look Chinese. Because, you know, Shang Tsung is like, as John Tobias, he never completely mapped it out, but in his mind, Shang Tsung was half Outworlder, half Earthrealmer, and he was born in Earthrealm in China. And then, you know, it's kind of a weird thing how he did it. Like, he won the tournament for Earthrealm and then was seduced by Shao Kahn's dark magic. And then, he became an Outworlder and then won in as Outworld champion, and then Kung Lao came in and beat him, and Kung Lao didn't kill him like he needed to, and then Kung Lao got fucked up by Goro the next tournament, and Goro won the next 9 tournaments or next 8 tournaments. So going back to Scorpion, it's really, I understand, like, they depowered Scorpion because Scorpion went through everything in the first movie and kept coming. Scorpion now is getting fucked up by 2 robots and he can't fight back worth the shit. And I think you could describe that away in the story mode is he got his revenge Like, he killed the person who killed him, who killed his family, killed his clan, and his Quan Chi. And that fire that he had that, like, kept fueling him was gone at that point. So he wasn't as powerful as he was in the first movie. But the robots, Cyrax and Sektor, are fucking Scorpion up, and then they get frozen by Sub-Zero, who says, "I'm going to kill him, not you guys. Go away." And then as Sub-Zero and Scorpion are fighting, a cloud of smoke show up, and then the smoke shows up. So I get my Scorpion and smoke interaction, which is just a mindless smoke fucking Scorpion up. And it's pretty cool. And it's really funny. There's a thing where Cyrax and Sektor are frozen. Like, the robots have heaters on their hands, I guess. And smoke melts the ice to get Cyrax and Sektor out of the big iceberg that Sub-Zero froze them in. And it was really funny in the Defenders of the Realm cartoon that Owen mentioned earlier. Ermac, his powers weren't quite defined yet. You know, they didn't really know what Ermac really was other than a collection of souls, but Ermac had heat power since he was a red ninja. So there was a there was an episode where Sub-Zero puts up this wall of ice to protect the Earthrealm fighters, and on the other side, Ermac shooting a red beam at the ice that melts it. And they're just going back and forth with it.
That's like the beginning of Deception, where they have that like thing where they're shooting like lightning bolts at each other and shit.
Oh yes, I do.
Like, I don't know if you remember the intro to that. It's ingrained in my head since a kid, but it's just them fucking shooting lightning bolts at each other, like
that shit's going back funny. And forth. Like, there's a little bit of like, again, I don't know how you get away from it, but because it's, you know, Dragon Ball Z is like ingrained in everybody's head. There's a little bit in these battles that go back and forth that's kind of Dragon Ball Z-ish. You know, no matter what happens at this point, like, especially Mortal Kombat, like, Liu Kang's fight with Shao Kahn, he shoots him up into the air like 50 feet and then kicks him back down into the stadium. It's like, what the fuck? What is he, Goku? When do these people start flying, you know? And I will say this, before the Raiden, before he gets killed, Raiden does that fucking Superman dive and throws Shao Kahn against the wall. He's like, "Super Saiyan!" And he does it and he goes, "You talk too much." I thought that was pretty good.
I need my buddy. I'm wearing a thong.
And then Shao Kahn, me and Cody.
I was going to say, too bad Shao Kahn didn't do the booga booga booga.
Well, Cody, me and him come up with, I don't know if he remembers this, MK9. It sounds like Shao Kahn when he's throwing his spear is like, "No booga! No booga!" Like, I guess he doesn't like boogers, you know? Well, going to Scorpion and Smoke. Well, real quick, when Raiden is talking about the tournament, I gotta go back, I missed this scene. He's explaining what's happening with this tournament to the Earthrealm fighters, and when everybody goes to the tournament, through the portal, he goes, "I know you're there," and then Scorpion's like, "Hey, what's up?" And then Scorpion goes, "Hey, what's this thing inside my butt?" And he goes, "Oh, that's Shinnok's amulet. What do you have it for?" He goes, "Well, I died, and it's inside my butt now." So, Raiden's like, "Run. Don't poop it out. Hold it as much as you can." And I think there's a good line in this where Scorpion goes, "Why don't I just go ahead and give him the amulet?" In all seriousness here, "Why don't I just give him the amulet and just end it all?" And then as a thing that hints around, this is why Scorpion went to hell in the first place. Scorpion wasn't a great guy. I mean, he had people he loved, but he was also an assassin. And Raiden goes, "You have long since straddled the line between good and evil. It's time you pick a side. I think that's what your wife and child would have wanted." It's like, ooh, man, that was a punch to the dick right there. So Scorpion is forced to open up the Shaolin temple, this old Shaolin temple, because he has the amulet, which Shinnok's amulet is not really important. He's supposedly locked in the amulet, but the amulet is part of Scorpion's soul now, so it's not really clear. But I guess Shinnok's amulet only opens a door you don't fucking need it with the Kamidogo, because in Deception, the Onaga needs all six Kamidogo and Shinnok's amulet to merge them. But I guess you don't need that in this movie. So the robots are like, destroy Shirai-Ryu and Scorpion's accepting his fate like he's going to die. It's like, dude, you're going to die and go back to hell, but... I mean, it's not like you're going to be dead. You're going to come back. I don't know why we're like acting like this. And then Sub-Zero freezes them again, and he's trying to fight Scorpion, and they run into the temple. And it's really cool. They get to this point where you see that this is... They wanted a water level and another level in this temple, just like the Mythology Sub-Zero game, but it had to be cut for time, so you only got this one like wind level. This is kind of like the Fujin level. And, you know, Sub-Zero knocks Scorpion off the bridge into this black abyss, and all of a sudden the wind gust comes up, and Scorpion comes blowing up. And I love how Scorpion can use a spear like Spider-Man's web now, and just latch onto shit and swing up. I'm like, it's pretty fucking awesome. I ain't gonna lie to you. I think it's pretty dope. Yeah, so how you guys feeling at this point?
Owen?
I don't know. I mean, at this point, I mean, it's like I said, I'm still kind of neutral. I mean, it's kind of just going through the phases. There's not really anything that's like drawing me into it. I don't know what it was about this one watch, but it was kind of a, it was a drag this time, and I don't know why. The first time I watched it, it wasn't too bad, but I don't know. Like I said, I think what Cody said, it was just kind of, and what I said earlier, just kind of going through the motions and stuff.
Are you enjoying one part of the movie more than the other? like I said, I enjoyed the ninja parts.
Definitely anything. Yeah, I think I would have to agree. Like, the ninja subplot is kind of, it would be better if it wasn't so rushed. I feel like, you know, there's so little of it that it's like you can, it's kind of hard to get invested in it to begin with.
It's hard to like push all this stuff in there, but I mean, I like the character growth from Scorpion because you get this. I mean, let's go to Cody real quick. Cody, how are you feeling at this point?
This is around the point in the movie where I guess I'm about to contradict myself, because as much as tired as I am of seeing the old, like, just, you know, here's the tournament stuff from the first couple of Mortal Kombat games, this is the point of the film where I start to like struggle keeping my interest. The whole like Liu Kang going and like basically absorbing the Elder Gods and all that stuff, I'm just like, and then, you know, there's the big the big kaiju
giant
fight.
Dragon.
Like,
I don't know
about this. Yeah, this is definitely like the point in the film where I'm just like, I don't know. It definitely takes a hard dip for me here.
Are you out of curiosity? Is there a is there a certain part of the movie you like more? Because like I said, like me and Owen were saying, Owen's kind of like neutral leaning, okay with this movie. I feel like you're the same. Are you enjoying the Lin Kuei Scorpion stuff more, or are you enjoying the tournament stuff more?
I think the Lin Kuei stuff is the most enjoyable part of the film, because I do like the whole, you know, the Lin Kuei trying to
go
after
it. You want to do the voice. I'm like, don't do it, Kevin.
No. I do like that they're going after the Kami Dogu and all, or like, you know, the main Lin Kuei mercenary robots, you know, Cyrax, Sectorn, Smoke. I know what I'm talking about, people. Don't question me. going after the Kami Dogu and like Scorpion and Sub-Zero trying to like prevent that from happening. I like all that. The tournament stuff is decent. I enjoy it fine, but it's just that I'm kind of just tired of seeing it over and over again. So yeah, definitely I would say the Lin Kuei is the first. That's the top for me. Then the tournament, and then way down below that is the Super Liu Kang versus Super Shinnok, the one being stuff.
I got you. All right. Well, we'll get to that in just a second. I mean, there's a lot of exposition in this thing, but I like how Scorpion kind of summed up everything for Kuai Liang. He goes, "The man who killed me, myself, and my family and my clan disguised himself as your brother and misdirected my vengeance towards him." And Kuai Liang's like, "Liar!" And then, Quai Ling just wants to kill him, and then Scorpion says, let's team up, let's go get this. And then Quai Ling looks like, okay, we'll do this. He doesn't really say anything. And Quai Ling, you know, freezes the bridges in the Shaolin Temple, and then Scorpion throws a spear like Spider-Man's web, and it cuts through each of the supporting beams for the bridges. They break off in three parts conveniently, and they crush all three robots. So they go off to go get the Kamidogo, and Quai Ling attacks Scorpion. And Quai Ling is younger. He's the younger brother of Bi-Han. And in, like, timeline perspective, the Mortal Kombat 1 instruction manual said that Scorpion was 32 and Bi-Han, or Sub-Zero, was 32 as well. But in reality, Scorpion would be 34 because he was killed 2 years prior. So if he died at 32, he'd technically be 34. But I think they were just trying to do this, like, they're the same age, or like they're literally the same, bro. They're literally the same. But and Quai Ling is the younger brother of Bi-Han, so he's younger. So this Sub-Zero is not as powerful as Scorpion, and Scorpion's probably smarter than him. And Scorpion just warns him about revenge. He goes, you gotta make sure, he's like, the revenge will turn into a sickness. And it's like a lot of character growth from Scorpion. Like he doesn't get any of this until like Mortal Kombat X and Mortal Kombat 11. It's fucking awesome. And then Quai Ling goes to stab him with an ice dagger, and he's got tears in his eyes, and he goes, I will never forgive you. And Scorpion goes, neither will I. I'm like, dude, man, Scorpion's so fucking dope.
He says, I'll never forgive you, but I
won't
love
do
you.
That. Oh, no, I won't do that. And then the fucking robots show up. They shoot something at the wall, and this big statue crumbles and crushes Quai Ling. Cyrex sets out his net. Which this net does like three different things in this movie, but it's never been consistent. Like it traps Scorpion against the wall and starts shocking him. And then the robots grab the, yeah, it'll be
it'll
like
the
predator net, which it'll will cut you into pieces. And like I said, I mean, those cyborgs are based off the predator costume anyway. It's like the cyborg, like Sektor is like, if you combine predator with Boba Fett, because he has the flamethrower on him and he's got the dreadlocks and shit. So the robots grab the Kamidogo and fly off. Scorpion and Sub-Zero are like, let's go kick some ass, and they do like the handshake, and Scorpion conveniently opens a portal to the Netherrealm. I'm like, why couldn't you have done this before? Shouldn't you be able to teleport anywhere? Like, Scorpion runs a lot in this movie. I'm like, this dude can teleport. What the fuck are we doing here? But plot devices, it's fine. Liu Kang kills Shao Kahn, and then the Elder Gods are like, you have to defeat the One Being, because they don't want the One Being. And like I said, the One Being fused with Shinnok, because Shinnok is like, he gets the Kamidogo, and then the Lin Kuei Grandmaster is like, the Kamidogo? He goes, yes, did you think I was going to get you, like, Shinnok says, yes, did you think I was going to have you go grab some simple trinket or some shit like that? He goes, but it said the Mad God, you're the Mad God, Shinnok. He goes, well, yes, yes, I am.
He's like, yeah.
He combines
that
the
go by the name Shitcock. Usually,
up. Except for Smoke, you don't see Smoke get fucked up. You see Sektor and Cyrex get ripped to pieces, and the Lin Kuei Grandmaster get his. It is.
So they beat
the
shit out of him.
Scorpion's
it's funny.
Fucked up in Scorpion's Revenge, so it's, you know, it's a little inconsistent, but it's all right. Scorpion and Sub-Zero try to stop it, but the realms are starting to merge because Shinnok is, well, Shinnok combines the Kamidogo into the One Being, who's this kind of glowing person who possesses Shinnok and transforms Shinnok, and he turns into kind of a greener version of Demon Shinnok, but he's like, you know, 200 feet tall or some shit like that. Like Cody was saying earlier, the Elder Gods possess Liu Kang and turn him into kind of like their champion, and he turns into like Owen was saying, some kind of like weird dragon. He looks like Serpentina, which is the Lord Zedd from the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. Is his fucking dragon Zord. It's just like fucking 200 feet tall. And it's fucking huge. Just what this thing looks like a snake dragon. And they fight and it doesn't work. And then like this thing does what Mortal Kombat Armageddon Annihilation does, the realms are merging. Like, all the realms are combined right now. And the one being is trying to absorb everything into him so he can become whole again. But they're fighting back and forth, and when I was listening, like a lot, like I said, you see Sonya and Johnny Cage and Jack save some people, and Katana too, and Sub-Zero and Scorpion are trying to attack Shinnok, the giant Shinnok, because the giant Shinnok's actually beating Liu Kang. Like, Liu Kang has to have help, go figure. And I think it's funny, like, you see Scorpion running up Shinnok's arm after Shinnok was distracted by Sub-Zero shooting ice in his face. He's like, wow, here's ice cubes. Scorpion jumps up in the air and says, get over here, and throws a spear and hits Shinnok's, like, center medallion in the middle of his head. And I took it as that took a blow from Shinnok's power at that point. Like, I didn't think of, like I was listening to the commentary, they were like, well, did that do anything? Nope, didn't do anything to Shinnok. But when Shinnok comes up, that green medallion in the middle of his head is now brown, like it's lost its power. So I think Scorpion had, like, the first chink in the armor, and then Liu Kang's, like, Elder God Dragon form took advantage of it and then killed Shinnok at that point, because he was kind of, he had a big blow to him at that point. That's the way I took it. Did you guys look at it in any way? Did you just think, like, I thought when Scorpion did that and had that big flash of light, like, he actually did some damage to Shinnok.
Yeah, it's supposed to be the bait and switch, right? Where it's like, you think that he beat his ass, but then no, he's coming back all right, bigger now than ever. But
that's the thing they had to edit out of the movie.
He's coming back
while he's fighting Dragon Liu Kang.
He has his big hard cock. I like how Liu Kang bites his ankles
off, and then, you know, he bites his arm off, and he's like, no, I'm all powerful.
That's what my cat tries to do to me in the morning when I'm getting dressed.
Yeah, and you pick it up like how he picks up Liu Kang's snake, and you're like, I am everything.
Cat trying to take you down by biting your ankles.
That's fucking funny. So, yeah, Liu Kang beats him. Liu Kang unfuses the realms, and then it's not clear that, you know, Liu Kang says there's no more elder gods, no more one being. Like, what happened to the elder gods? Did he just, like, eat and shit them out at that point?
he just killed them in a jar
for later.
He's like, I'm gonna use that power, baby.
I'll need this power when it comes to my
no more
first Katana. Night with Katana, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
My golden cock when he pulls that out.
But let's finish up the plot real quick, because we're right there. So they go back to Outworld, and Liu Kang unmerges the realms. Shao Kahn's body is gone, but the blood is still there, so you don't know if he's actually dead. Shang Tsung is no longer there, and you see Raiden in the background. You see the lightning strike, so Raiden's come back, and he's got his god powers. The director and writer said they had a post-credit scene, or at least another scene added, where they were going to have, like, Shang Tsung and Melina and a bunch of clones. Like, that was the next part of the plan. But they had to get cut, too, so I don't think that was, like, illustrated whatsoever. But that would have been cool. But then again, like I said, when we get to Snowblind, Snowblind is technically, I guess, part three, but it's also, like, not connected, like, at all to these stories. But other than that, that's it for Mortal Kombat Legends Battle of the Realms.
Oh, you forgot. You didn't say about Sonya and Johnny finally being like,
oh yeah, they,
I love you.
They,
I know.
After Sonya punching him in the balls a lot, throughout the last two movies.
Yeah, she had to make sure that, you know, he was infertile. It was kind of like a castration.
Well, it's funny, like, vasectomy. You have moments where, like, Johnny Cage got fucked up by Devorah, and then Sonya fucks up Devorah later on. And, like, Sonya goes to help Johnny before she fights Devorah, and Devorah's like, your boyfriend's not powerful at all, or some shit. She goes, Johnny, are you okay? He goes, I could use some mouth-to-mouth. And then when she fucks up Devorah, after she beats her, she goes, he's not my boyfriend. And there's there's multiple times where it's just not my boyfriend, but at the end,
yeah, because there's like
Sonya and Johnny, they love each other and shit.
Well, he says I love you to her, and she says something along the lines of like I know or something like that.
Oh no, no, she.
Oh yeah, no shit.
Yeah, she goes no shit.
She says no shit.
But like, you know, there's that scene earlier in the movie where Jax is like, when she brings out all the weapons, and Jax is like, I'd kiss you right now, but I don't think your boyfriend would like it very much. She's like, not my boyfriend.
And she goes again, not my boyfriend.
And then he's trying to like get into her room that first night or whatever. He's like, what if I just come in there and we, like, hang out or something? You know, and,
yeah, that shit, yeah, it was pretty funny. It's kind of cringe, but it's funny.
Johnny's such a horn dog. I hear that the cage match is going to be rated mature. TVMA, you know what I mean? Because he's going to show him boning a bunch of ladies.
Because he's going to be fucking, Ashra.
And it's the 80s, too, so there's going to be a lot of bush.
Oh yes it is. This is before Manscaped became a thing. So I guess to finish up the little bit, you know, sets up, you know, Scorpion's Sub-Zero like allies now, and you know, you don't know if Smoke has survived or anything like that.
Yeah, they do like
the and everything hand, seems to be good, like
they do the hand grab from Commando, you know.
Yeah, they did that, you son of a bitch.
Am I thinking of the right movie?
No, it's Predator. Predator.
Is that the gif, like the popular meme and gif, it's probably where it's like the two guys like grabbing their.
Yeah, it's Predator. Dylan, you it's son the same of producers a bitch. Of the two movies and some of the same actors in both movies, but it's Predator.
For some reason, I don't know why the fuck I thought I mean, that was from Commando.
Well, dude, Commando was a great fucking movie. There's no reason for you not to think so. So, you know. But anywho, that's it for Battle of the Realms. The next one that we're going to cover in 6 weeks will be Snowblind. And that one, like I said, is not really connected. There's no Scorpion. And, you know, there's a lot of Black Dragon, which is kind of cool. Like, you see Cabal. You see Cobra, Kira, characters from... You have one character who's an obscure character they pulled from Mortal Kombat Special Forces. And then... Tremor's in it, but Tremor was already in MKX. There's another character called No Face, who's in... He's a small little sub-boss in Special Forces, but he's in this movie, Snowblind, which is kind of funny. Yeah, so part two of the Hanzo Musashi hype train is almost over with. We're going to go through our recommendations. We'll start with Cody. Cody, overall thoughts and recommendation or not recommend of this movie?
I'd recommend it. It's not terrible. It's not as good as Scorpion's Revenge. And I do think that some of the plot elements... The plot does kind of range from like interesting to... You know, a little bit tired to not interesting at all.
Muddled.
Yeah.
It's kind of muddled in a way. Yeah,
it is. And like I said, if you're not already familiar with, like, Mortal Kombat lore, to some extent, you might be a little bit lost watching it the first time through. So, but yeah, I'd still recommend it. It's still worth watching.
All right. Owen, sir, you...
I'm kind of in the same boat as Cody. I would recommend it, especially if you have like, well, I guess it depends. I mean, if you haven't seen anything Mortal Kombat for a while, or if you're a big super fan, I would probably recommend it. But I don't know. It did take its fatigue. I did get fatigued of it. And part of that has to be kind of the pacing issues and, you know, it trying to shove in a bunch of stuff and a lot of it just being plot points that we've seen in other media related to Mortal Kombat. So, mixed. I'm going to say
would
mixed.
Would you say Scorpion's Revenge is better?
You know? Oh, yeah, definitely. I think that's a lot more of a cohesive film.
I respect
it's a lot better.
I'm going to say that, yeah, I do think Scorpion's Revenge is better. But as a Mortal Kombat fan, if you go into it with expectations of like, I want this character to look like this, you're probably going to get disappointed, because with Mortal Kombat fandom, everybody thinks their favorite character should be the most important character, and they're jealous of the people that get the spotlight, like Liu Kang, Scorpion, Sub-Zero.
That's why you got to pick favorite characters like me.
Striker.
You got to pick favorite characters like mine that are basically just jobbers and hardly ever show up.
Yeah. And the thing that people don't realize, John Tobias said it, like when he was making the characters about, and they talked about Scorpion, he's like, you know, you're not going to have an X-Men comic or an X-Men game without Wolverine in it, and you're not going to have a Mortal Kombat game without Scorpion in it, because Scorpion has become like, he's like the Wolverine of Mortal Kombat. He's, you know, the Batman of Mortal Kombat. He's the Darth Vader of Mortal Kombat. And he's going to be like featured in a prominent role, and Sub-Zero has to be his enemy, so he's going to be featured in a prominent role. And then you have people that online are like really deep diving these characters. Like, there's some weirdos on Reddit and on Twitter that will sit there and say Kuai Liang is the best character in Mortal Kombat and Hanzo is a big piece of shit. And it's like, okay, you guys know that this is a fictional character that they had the same writer for like two games in a row, and then that's it, so that's why everything's not completely consistent, and they literally have nothing to do with Kuai Liang, so they just make him this wise old guy. And it's like, he's kind of a boring character. Like, even Dominic Chinchado, the guy who wrote MK, he was part of the writing team MK9, was a co-writer MKX and co-writer MK11, but he's the lead writer, and he wrote MK1. He even said that there wasn't much difference between Mortal Kombat 9 Kuai Liang and Mortal Kombat 11 Kuai Liang. That's why they didn't have a past and present Sub-Zero. They just had a present Sub-Zero. So, you know, people, and that's why they, like, these fans are all happy that Kuai Liang is now Scorpion. But, like, Liu Kang, like, I don't understand why he's the champion, but from the get-go, John Tobias and Ed Boon have said that Liu Kang is their Luke Skywalker. Like, that's who they had in mind when they made this character, that he was going to be, like this orphan who like had no family and, you know, stood up against evil and all this other shit. So I think Jeremy Adams, the writer, and Ethan Spaulding, the director, did the best they could with two movies to fit in like seven games and a little bit of X. So you have like almost like eight games represented in these two movies. And they're only 80 minutes long, so you have like 160 minutes to get seven games worth of story, and it's just not possible. But I think they do the best they can with it, and the more I watch this movie as a Mortal Kombat fan, the more I enjoy it, and I appreciate it more, so I definitely recommend it. And like I said, Snowblind is way different, because there is absolutely no Kitana, there is no Liu Kang, there is no Sonya, there is no Johnny Cage, there is no Jax, there is like no main characters in that fucking, there's no Shao Kahn, there's no Shinnok, there's no Inaga, there's nothing. And it's really stripped down, and I think Cody's really going to enjoy the story. I think Owen's going to enjoy the story too.
There's nothing but a blind man and his boy. Hey, man.
Yeah, his big blue boy.
A boy in his Kenshi.
The new Miyazaki film. The boy in the Kenshi.
That's right. The boy in the Kenshi. Are you saying Kimchi or Kenshi? I prefer a boy in his Kimchi.
But anyway, our next movie will be Owen. Is that how this works?
I'm still in the camp that we should do Tenacious D and the Pick of Destiny. But I don't know. I couldn't think of any like horror movies that I would like. Like, I could think of horror movies that I like, but not ones that I'd be like super comfortable to talk about, I guess. I mean, not like I'm uncomfortable, but you know, that I'd be like,
hey, that's fine.
Hey, I could speak about this definitively.
All right. That's fine, because, you know, like, my next episode is going to be Dumb and Dumber, of course. But after that, like, my episode will release literally on Christmas Day. And right now I'm thinking Elf, but part of me wants to do Yes Man. but we'll see. Don't freak out. All
right.
What the fuck?
So, are you going to let us know like the day of the recording? Okay.
Yeah, I'm picking Tenacious okay. D. All
right, cool.
The pick of Schmiss today. The Kyle, yes. It's on HBO Max too. I mean Max.
Pad, you know?
My bad.
Maxi All right. Pad. Well, everyone.
Yeah.
Maxi pad and the gush of destiny. Come on, guys. Gush of blood. You know you guys fucking suck. Anyway.
Yeah.
Come on, Cody. You know
come
how
on,
the
get with the program.
Anyway,
come on,
everyone. Thank you so much for listening. If you made it this far, like this podcast, share it on your platform, share it with anyone, your friends or social media, wherever it may be. We're on Twitter at @FilmoscopyPod. We're on Facebook.
It's called X now.
X gonna give it to you.
And the you know, we're on Facebook at Filmoscopy Podcast, I think.
What?
I'm not sure. Just look up Filmoscopy, it's us. But anyway, like I said, like, share, subscribe. Thank you for listening, and as always, finish him.
My mouse finally died.